Just for a couple of minutes, I want to do a quick review of the week for you. Some of you have not been here all week, and so I want to meet each of the meetings. Wayne, did you have something else?
Yes, I want to share with you. We did not get enough copies.
There's a copy machine in the back room.
Got it. All right.
Yeah, that's
down
good.
The,
thank you.
To the
man.
Office. And everybody will get three different papers. They'll get them. We'll be back and just check with us to make sure you get all three. And we won't disrupt you.
Would you have prayer?
Okay, right now.
Please, yes.
Okay.
There's a live mic right there, I think, Wayne.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we are into your presence again this morning. I pray that you'll be with our speaker and give him words from on high. Jerry Franklin has done a lot of research and put a lot of work together, written a book on this topic, but help us to have further and greater understanding of your word and the words in the spirit of prophecy is our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. It feels a little warm to me, but you all, I know you like this kind of thing. I want you to know that just how great a sacrifice we made to come down here, leaving all that cool weather up there and down here in heat. No, I'm kidding. Just forget all it's
blunt. You ought to go to Florida then if you think this is hot. We just came up from down there. And
I think this is as far as I'll go.
This is nice and cool up here.
Yeah, it is. Last Sunday afternoon, we talked about we're blessed by who you know. If you get on an airplane and you pray that the Lord will keep you safe, and he does, did it bless anybody else?
Yes,
it blessed those on an airplane. Remember, we told you that the 10 lepers were healed because one came back to say thank you, and for the sake of just the one, he healed the whole 10. Think about it. You have that kind of potential and power in your life by doing good and being thankful to the Lord. We can be a blessing to others. Monday afternoon, we talked about the soon return of Jesus. And the soon return of Jesus, we're not going to get scared into it by some conspiracy theory. An invasion of the Jesuits or an invasion of people whose last name end in Berg or some other such thing. Or the New World Order. We read in Great Controversy 5:28. If you haven't read that yet, and we read it a couple of times during this week, the Lord will overrule all of these plots of Satan to further his own cause. The devil doesn't have one upmanship on God. Is that right?
Yes.
So we can leave all of that and concentrate on our work. What is our work? To prepare for the coming of Jesus. The work of the people of God is to prepare for the events of the future, which will soon come upon us with blinding force. So our work is to get ready for the Lord's return. Evangelism is all built into it all. This is not going out here in the hills, digging a hole in a side hill, putting food in it, and guarding it with an AK-47. This is getting ready and help others getting ready and sharing what we have. Give you an example. Corrie Ten Boom. She was in Ravensbrück concentration camp. She knew, as others knew, the next person that was going to die, because if they found a crust of bread or a potato peeling and they didn't break it up and share it with other people, they would be dead in 2 days. But those that shared, something miraculous happened. See, we're not here to hoard, we're here to help everybody. Now, I don't particularly like zucchini squash, so I know I'm on somebody's hit list already. But if we're out here in the hills somewhere and we're down to our last zucchini, it's no problem for me to share my last zucchini. What? You don't like it either? But now if we get down to the last potato, or the last bowl of oatmeal, Kester, now that's sacrifice. What I'm saying is that the attitude of sharing will energize us all. Let me give you a biblical example. Elisha, or Elijah, was assigned to go to a widow and say, "Make me a cake." Did he know anything before he went? Yes, he did. He knew that if she would share her last cake with him, that her stores would never fail. And so she asked him, he asked her to do that. And an act of faith, she made it, and she was planning on eating the last cake and dying. But God stepped in. And that's the way He does with us. In this whole survival business, if we run out of food, we've done all we can, then we can get down on our knees and ask God for a divine intervention. Did you know? I don't know if you got the memo on this or not, but He fed 5,000 people one time. Did you hear about that? 5,000 people on how much? Was it three? Was it five? Five loaves of bread and two fishes. Up at our place, and we have young people come, we can't even feed five boys on five loaves. I mean, they eat when they're out there haying or whatever else they're doing. But the Lord fed. You see, if we're in the direction of what God wants us to do, He will provide for that which we cannot provide for ourselves. How about our clothes? Well, let's take Israel. You know, they left Egypt, and in 40 years in the wilderness, their clothes didn't what? Wear out. And what about their shoes? So for the things that we can't provide, we can claim a promise. But for the things we can, like move into the country where we can raise our own provisions, and we're going to read some promises about that in just a minute. God will bless our efforts because our heart is anointed. Our heart is right with each other and right with God. Are you still doing your right with each other thing? No. Praise God. I hope you keep doing it. I hope it spreads through all of Mountain View Conference. Because the time is at hand. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make it right with each other and right with God. And then our hands can go to work in a way that will be a blessing to all those around us. We're going to read more about that. Now, on Tuesday afternoon, we talked about restoration. All those past mistakes that you thought you just had to live with and you couldn't do anything about, the promise is that God will heal the wounds that you have made if you'll start a journey of healing and resolution and restitution. And the process of restoration begins as soon as you take the first step. For we find out that the cleansing from sin in 1 John 1:9, is to take away the disease organism, otherwise known, you want the fancy word? I just happen to know a couple, so I want to share. I'm just busting to share these fancy words. The etiological agent, that is the agent that causes the disease, it's gone. And then the effects of the disease are restored, because all of those lepers, did they have missing fingers? Did they have missing toes, ears? No. All restored. And leprosy is a symbol of sin, and God is going to see to it that the only marks of sin in this universe are what?
Scars and the Savior's hand.
in his hands, in his feet, and in his side. And we're told the glory of God shines brighter from those places than from any other place on his being. And he did it for you and me. We need to keep that in mind. We're not here just to go out and hammer nails and dig holes and run a backhoe and all the rest of that. We're called upon, brothers and sisters, to get our hearts right so that our hands can work in the direction of preparing to meet thy God. Amen. And all of the other side issues, all of the other discussions, all of the other impressions that you get, all of the wonderful theology that you may hear, it all boils down to one thing. You can have all the wonderful theology you want, and it may all fit together beautifully, but we've got to prepare to meet God. And we've got to prepare to meet God. It should be the focus of our attention in our heart and in our hands. Together. Wonderful as it may be, we must be ready. In Wednesday's lesson, we talked about the National Sunday Law. What's going to bring it in, anybody? Pop quiz. What's going to bring in the Sunday Law? Catastrophes, right? And then the devil's going to, he's doing the catastrophes, and then he's going to blame who? Anybody here that the devil's going to blame for this? Would you raise your hand? That's what I thought. Everybody's going to blame us. And if they can get a law enacted like this one, the National Sunday Law, that will put everybody worshiping on Sunday, God will stop all of these catastrophes. But it just keeps getting worse and worse. Finally, no buy, no sell. How would it affect you if you couldn't buy and sell starting right now? Well, the fans would go off, wouldn't they? And the lights. See, what else would go off? Electronic equipment and sound system. Barry's out of a job. We've got gasoline or diesel that we've got in our tanks. You see the point, we've got to be ready when this comes. We can't wait until it comes, because anybody that waits until it comes wants to stay in the world as it is, and the very last minute, I'll get converted. You know what we call that? What is it? Presumption. God says that the preparation is the act of true faith, and that waiting to the last minute is presumptive. And God must help us. Today, we're going to show you a PowerPoint program after a few introductory remarks here, and show you some of the practices, some of the application that we've been working on for 35 years. And every year we learn something new. That's why I know we can't wait till the last minute. Every year we learn something about how better to help a group of people if they suddenly appeared on your doorstep and say, I need help. You got any zucchinis? And that's what's going to happen. Look what's going to happen. Here we are. We make a choice for the seal of God. We receive the latter rain because we've done all our preparatory work here. We've made it right with each other and right with God back here. That's why now is the most important time in all of coming events. We get the seal of God, we get the latter rain, and we give this three angels' messages, including identifying the beast. Do you think it won't take courage? You're going to look at this beast with blood dripping out of its mouth, and you've got to say, that's the one. That's the one you don't want to be near. It's going to take courage, powerful courage. And then the people say, we believe you. And they come out of churches by the groves. You know the majority of God's people are where? In other churches. So how should we treat them? Like a brother. Should we criticize them, make fun of them, and so forth? No, because it's poor PR when the time comes that they're going to come and join the truth. Here they are right here. And at the 11th hour, somebody's coming out of the 25th floor in Charleston, and where are they going to go? They're walking off. First time I ever heard anything like this. You mean the Sunday law is a choice between God's side and the mark of the beast? Please teach us. And they'll learn in a few months what it's taken others years to learn. And we're equipped to teach them, we're equipped to house them, we're equipped to feed them while we teach them, because our job is to get them into the kingdom. Is that right? That's exactly right. Well, today, Barry, were you able to get those on the screen? Were you able to get there? Okay, that's our address, telephone number. I want you to know that I'm sincere when I say that if you have questions about anything related to our part of this wonderful camp meeting, I want you to contact us either by email or by telephone. We have a website. You can download stuff about our family camp. We're going to show you pictures of that. Anything that you need to do. If you need to order books, I suggest you go to the Potomac Conference. And if you don't have a copy of our book, it'll help you to get ready for the last days. If you'll get a copy. If you don't have one, stop at the ABC and get one. There's another address, Barry. Is that going to go on too? Yes, leave that one on for a while if you would. Okay, go to the other one first, and then they're still wanting to get addresses and phone numbers, and I want you to contact us, please, if we can be of any help whatsoever. Or if you'd like to come and visit us, you just happen to be driving through the Arctic, stop in and see us. Yes, sir. This one isn't, but the previous one was. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Stan. Okay. Now I want to share something with you, and we need your help. For some time now, several years, would you believe 30-some years? Oh, boy. Time goes by. We have been teaching end time events in various schools and various places. Some of our colleges don't teach eschatology as a subject anymore. I'm saddened by that, and I'm on a campaign to reinstate that if I have to do it myself. You have to have some kind of special paperwork to do that, but that's okay. I finally get a chance to use this paperwork I've got. Now, several years ago, I had a copy, a really old copy of a little book called From City to Country Living. Back then, it was 49 cents. It's gone up a bit since then. So we had all Seventh-day Adventist baseball team, which went to the state tournament in Portland, Oregon. And I happened to play the middle part there. And we went to the state tournament, and the third baseman, his name was Doug Sales. Do anybody know Doug Sales here? Okay, he's the book distributor for the Review and Herald to all the Adventist book centers. I talked to Doug, and I said, Doug, you know, we need to reactivate this book, From City to Country Living. So they put a new cover on it. I think they did a good job. They put a new cover on it, and they made it available. I like this cover better. That's going to kind of choke you. In the back is the minutes, the back of this book. I think there's a few left in the Adventist Book Center. In the back of this book is the minutes of the 1978 Annual Council of the General Conference meeting voted to adopt the following document in regard to rural living, that such institutions be located where workers may follow the council to move out of the cities. That was an action of the General Conference. Voted to adopt the following document. I'm just skipping through here. If you get a copy of this book or have them order it for you if it sells out. Shall not the cities be warned? Yes, but not by God's people living in them, but by visiting them to warn them of what's coming on the earth. This is part of the document that was voted. Along with that was an election of the secretary and the General Conference for Rural Living, and it was Dr. E.A. Sutherland was the first secretary for rural living, and his job was to help people make the transition from moving out of the cities and the tenements into the rural areas and then come back into the cities and to accomplish evangelism according to God's plan. I'll skip it. You can read this for yourself. It's filled with spirit of prophecy references in the document, but I want you to hear this, that arrangements be made to republish the pamphlet From City to Country Living. In 1978, that action was taken, and it was just recently reactivated again. 2 years ago, I think, was when it was reprinted and put in the Adventist Book Center in conjunction with a planned program by us that the division wishes to know about. That church leaders, notice the groups here, the church leaders, the spirit of prophecy directors, or other persons appointed for this purpose in the union and local conferences, that is, there were people in the unions and local conferences whose duties it was to help people make this transition, make themselves acquainted with the councils regarding these matters, and seek to guide our church members who may be contemplating a move to a more rural area. And that a secretary for rural living at the General Conference level be appointed. Based upon those actions, which have never been withdrawn, I wrote a proposal to the division office, and the assistant to the president of the North American division is Elder Halvard Thompson under Elder Don Snyder, and Halvard and I went to Walla Walla together. We're classmates. It just seemed almost providential. We sit down and talk about it. He says, Jerry, is there an interest in this sort of thing? Do you think there's an interest in this sort of thing?
Amen.
Could I see your hands? Well, he'd like to have input from us. And that's that next slide, Barry, is how to give him input. Would you take this down? And if you're in support of the idea of having a portfolio given to one men already in office because they can't hire anybody new because of the moratorium on hiring due to the economic situation. They will give the portfolio to somebody, and Ed Reed has already volunteered to take it. Elder Ed Reed, he believes in what the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy says about this area. And he would be happy to counsel people even now, even without the portfolio. When he retires, which I think is within a year or so, he has 75 acres in western North Carolina, and it has wood, land, and water on it. And he knows all we know. You know, he's the one that wrote, Sunday is coming, and even at the doors, that he feels, if it's possible, even more strongly than I do, that we need to prepare to meet our God very soon. So if you would email him, don't forget the dots, Halvard Thompson, it's a Danish name, at nad.adventist.org, or call him at that number at the General Conference. And state your feelings that we'd like to have a portfolio given to one of our leaders. Now, what does that accomplish in terms of God's will? Just this, that we as laymen, I don't like the term layman, so we as membership can join hands with our leadership and our ministerial brethren in finishing work and answer Christ's prayer of John 17. You know what it is? That we all may be what? That we all may be one. And they have, I've made this announcement all over North America, so he's getting plenty of impact. And we'd like to have it on the division meeting scheduled for this October as an item on the agenda so that we can do that. So if you could voice your support for it, that would be a great, great blessing. And we as church membership can unite with our conference brethren and our ministerial brethren in working together to prepare to meet the Lord, as John the Baptist called for, as Elijah called for, and in the power of Elijah. One more item here. I have an article here from the Wall Street Journal, dated December 2nd, 2009. The title of the Wall Street article, very scholarly paper, written by smart people. It is, here's the title, Green Acres is the Place to Be. And here's the headline. The recession is inspiring more young families and singles to head out of the city and back to the country. This is the world. They don't even know much about the Bible, if any, and they certainly know a little of the spirit of prophecy. We have volumes of material that tell us that we should make this move. And they look at the economic situation and they say, wait a minute, if they're going to cut off all our supplies, where's the best way to be? Where's the best place to be? Let me put that on my computer or my slide rule and I'll figure it out shortly. And you know what they came up with? Move to the country. Intellectuals. Eggheads. Nerds. Computer fixers. Fiddlers. I don't know who all they are, but they are very intelligent people. And they said, go to the country and do it as soon as you can. This article is the Wall Street Journal, December 2nd, 2009. You can retrieve it in your library if you wish. In that, it shows several people have bought farms, including some here in West Virginia. Some people that wrote this are in West Virginia right now, living up to what they're counseling their intellectual brethren to do. We are miles ahead and we have opportunity to be the head and not the tail and to be ready for the Lord's return. Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Chronicles 7:14. I want you to see something, then I'm going to share with you some promises and then we've got to get to the PowerPoint. 2 Chronicles 7:14. What does it say there? Somebody have it that has a loud voice? 2 Chronicles 7:14.
If who? My people pray, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
So here's heart work. And then God is going to do what to our land? What does that mean? It's making our land more productive. That's what it means. And He'll do it as a result of heart conversions. We can't enter into this and be successful in this area unless we give our hearts 100% without reservation to God by faith. And then He will heal our land. Notice some of the promises here. If the land is, this is 6T178. Sixth volume of the Testimonies, 178. If the land is cultivated, it will, with the blessing of God, supply our necessities. What do you say?
Amen.
With the blessing. How do we get the blessing of God? It has to start right here. Is that right? Would you agree with me? That it'll supply our necessities by the blessing of God if our heart is right with each other and right with God, and we're ready to enter into these climactic events. The blessing of God, which spreads a table for His people in the wilderness, will never cease. How often is never? It's not going to happen. 5T152, God can bless 20 acres of land and make them as productive as 100. How do we get 20 acres to produce like 100? God's blessing. How do we get God's blessing? Starts right here. The call to move into the country is a call to revival. Or if we're moving out for any other reason, don't waste your time. You'll get stung by scorpions, bit by copperheads, scared by moccasins, and chased by gators. But if you go out with an understanding heart that this is something that God wants us to do, we may have the blessing of God. And did you know snakes are no problem for God?
Amen.
He's handled snakes before. Did you? You got the memo on that too, didn't you? But yeah. Now, Brother Jerry, I'm in a real situation. I'm in downtown Washington, D.C. The next house is 3 feet over. I don't have any money. I'm kind of in debt. I use a credit card. Bob gave us some ideas about a credit card. Did you get that the other day when he played the dulcimer? He tore his in half and used it for a guitar pick. I just couldn't keep from laughing. And he was quite adamant about it. Did you notice it? And then he scrapes the frost off his windshield with the other half. Medical Ministry 3:10. We ought to memorize it. In fact, look at that whole page on medical ministry. It's just filled with promises. If you don't have the book, get it here in the ABC. Medical Ministry 3:10. God will help His people find such homes outside the cities. It's also in Country Living, page 24. God will help His people find such homes where? Outside the cities. You've got a partner in your decision to make a move, to better your situation. Oh boy. Well, take a cinch on your seatbelt like Elder Bogus counseled us to do for this class. Early Writings, I'm sorry, Fundamentals of Christian Education 326. This is probably going to send a bolt of lightning through us all, but listen to it. Don't say Jerry said. Who said? It's the testimony of Jesus, am I right? To who? To us. Send the children to schools located in the city where every phase of temptation is waiting to attract and demoralize them, and the work of character building is tenfold harder for both parents and children. How much is tenfold? Well, it's an order of magnitude, isn't it, Mel? Tenfold. Yeah. Tenfold harder for both the parents and the children. Do you need an advantage in character building? How many of you need that advantage? Okay, if you could have tenfold advantage by living in the country, where would you want to live then? May God help us to follow through on our decisions. And finally, this reference in the 12th volume of manuscript releases, 12 MR, page 30. He wants us to live where we can have elbow room. What is that? I'm not going to make the chicken sound, but you get the idea. Elbow room. His people are not to crowd into the cities. He wants them to take their families out of the cities where they can better prepare for eternal life. What does better mean? Hello, anybody out there? It's you have a better advantage, you have a tenfold advantage, you can better prepare for eternal life if we take our families out of the cities into the country. Country Living, page 24. For years we have been instructed that our brethren and sisters, especially families with children, should plan to leave the cities. You know where these references were collected? In the office of the Secretary for Rural Living in the General Conference. These were distributed to all the people. They came out of that little book. That little book was to be a booklet for people thinking about making this move, and the leadership wanted to help us to make the move. We need that leadership again, brothers and sisters. Some of us who are membership in the church, part of the parsonage, and maybe even elders in the church or whatever, we need to grasp the hands of our ministerial brethren, and together we need to plan a program of safety, of spiritual development, of relocation, and getting ready for the Lord's return and demonstrating the unity for which Christ prayed. And the sooner we do it, the sooner we can finish the work. For years, we have been instructed that our brethren, our people, are to leave the cities, that our brethren and sisters, especially families with children, should plan to leave the cities as the way opens before them to do so. Notice there's planning implied there. It's not just a radical go out here and jump off a cliff and hope there's a nice deep hole in the river at the bottom. No, there's a planned process and watching for providences along the way and evidence of God leading. Many will have to labor earnestly to open the way. Now, a statement again from Jesus' testimony, Desire of Ages, 633. That classic biography of Christ, which even the world recognizes for its literary value. By giving the gospel to the world is in our power to hasten the Lord's return. What do you say? Amen. Give the gospel to the world. We are not only to look for, but to hasten. It's one thing to anticipate, another thing to watch. But we're also to what? To work. To share. Had the Church of Christ done her appointed work as the Lord ordained. Now that's a key phrase. According to His plan, the whole world would have before this been warned. And the Lord Jesus would have come to our earth in power and great glory. He could have been here before now. Well, what's He waiting for? He's waiting for activity in the direction of His plans so that He can bless us. He's waiting for plans so that we can get our hearts right with each other and right with God so that He can pour out His Spirit upon us and He will come. So why isn't He here now? We need to start doing things His way and follow His counsel and His testimony here and in the testimony of Jesus. Which, by the way, most of this book is the testimony of Jesus as well. There's only one chapter that the Lord wrote with His own finger, Exodus 20 and other places in the Bible, about the Ten Commandments. It's a solemn thing that I, message that I send to the church, that not one out of 20 of us are prepared to close our earthly history. Christian Service, page 41. We think we're ready, brothers and sisters, but we need, in this day of atonement, we need to examine our hearts. We need to take steps in faith and in trust and in confidence in each other and in God and move forward. I want to show you some pictures now. I could go on and keep mentioning the same thought, but I hope that the Holy Spirit is appealing to your heart, that you will seriously consider to find a place for your family, to escape the judgments on the city, for tenfold character development advantages, that we can better prepare for the Lord's return, and that finally we'll be ready to help our family and others when the economic boycott hits this church, and it's the only church that it will hit. It's only aimed at us. And so, since we know it's coming, what do you say we get ready? What do you say?
Amen.
Praise God. Barry, I think we're ready. We're going to launch out. Can we turn off the lights and turn down the heat? This is the way Jesus always does things. He does things by invitation. That chapter in Desire of Ages, I recommend for everybody to read that chapter on the invitation from Desire of Ages. It's just one of the most beautiful chapters and heartwarming. This is my wife and our son when he was 2 years old. We're in a one-room cabin in the wilderness. Instead of the crowded city, seek some retired situation where your children will be so far as possible shielded from temptation and there train and educate them for usefulness. Jed is 2 years old and he's helping to rinse dishes. He's standing on a stump so that he can reach there. And later on he had his own little garden spot and his watering can. God will help His people to do what? Find such homes outside the cities. Be sure you write that down or memorize it, because it's not going to get any easier as time goes by to adjust our positions. But God will help us. He's promised. That's our house. It's a 6-bedroom sawn log house that we built. We built 4 of these as a part of our Sanctuary Ranch grades 9 to 12 school program. That's our dog. His name is Bear. Guess why we call him Bear? Well, he looks like a bear, and bears do come in our yards. These flowers here are part of our greenhouse business. That's the way we pay our bills. Any money that's given to us for expenses or for anything else doesn't go to pay electricity, doesn't go to pay any other kind of bill. We don't use it for groceries or anything else. We feel like it's important that we earn our own living, and if God gives us money in some way, that we use it for His work and not our own sustenance. And a startling announcement, we do not accept tithe. Why? I'll just ask you a question. Do I look like the treasury?
No.
That's why. Simple answer. Okay. we won't get into that. These are aspen trees in the fall. The whole valley turns a brilliant yellow. The aspen trees are white barked. The work of the people of God is to what? Soon come upon them with blinding force. And when you examine this in detail, you will find that preparing for the Lord's return is also built in helping others to prepare for the Lord's return and spread the gospel. But according to God's plan, because now we're working evangelistically from outposts. Evangelism, page 77. Country property will have. You can jot a note if you wish. It should have some wood so you can heat your house and cook your food. Yes, we can run a chainsaw. We have water. There's a creek running into the river that borders our west boundary. And when you come to family camp, this is where the arm twisting starts and where I'm storming into the conference committee with this great, big, huge, embarrassing proposal that we budget a school bus to take all the mountaineers we can up north to family camp. It may not fly because my approach is not very good. But anyway, when you arrive there on Sabbath, to take you on a little hike up to this waterfall, which is across the river from us, and we need agricultural land. That's just a picture of it. You don't need that much. Gardening, we have a garden spot there. You can see it down there at the lower part of the picture. This is 2 Chronicles 7:14. We'll eat watermelon again. And if my people who are called by my name shall what? Humble, pray, seek, and turn from wicked ways. That is, no, eliminate all worldly attachments. I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive them and will heal their land. The spiritual revival is a preparation for what's ahead of us. When we start gardens, we have prayer together. For us, it's a very solemn experience, and I found an excuse to go fishing. We go to this lake and we catch trash fish. We put them in a bucket. And we let them cook. You know what I mean by cook? In the spring, we have a ceremony where we take the lid off. And you know something, ladies? There's not one girl around. Notice, Jed is putting the fish fertilizer in the rows there. And they're two rows over. Do you see that? They're two rows over. This stuff is really fragrant, but what does it do for the garden is just miraculous. There's some of the plants out of our greenhouse, and we're planting them. Here's some potatoes and broccoli and cauliflower and cabbage and carrots and squash and beets and turnips and rutabagas and all kinds of things. And we grow tomatoes and corn and beans in a greenhouse, with an unheated greenhouse. It's just heat convection. We can add 30 days to the growing season so we can get tomatoes and corn and cucumbers and squash and other things that take a little longer. And when you come to family camp, every meal is prepared out of those two places for our noon meal. And I'll show you some of that. We have strawberries, we have raspberries, many gallons of raspberries. And this is some of the produce that we're taking out of the garden, including zucchini, one of my favorites. No, it isn't actually. Harvesting potatoes. And you know, at the end of the year, you have all this produce, so what are you going to do with it? You got to do something with it. You can't just let it rot. So we have a root cellar, and all that stuff goes in the root cellar. We build ours out of wood up there, but you know, you got everything, every bug in the world that eats wood. Is that right, Keith? There's bugs here that eat wood that you don't even recognize. But up there we don't have, so we can use wood, and we put our potatoes and other things in the root cellar. Here's the dates you want to write down that the conference committee will be aware of. August 26th. I'm sorry, I can't keep a straight face. Larry's gone, isn't he? Good, I won't have. Okay, August 26th to September 4, 2010, this year. We study coming events, all of the events on this chart here, morning and evening, event by event. And then during the day, we do practical things. You can't see that very well, but maybe this will outline it a bit. This is our objectives. Understand end time Bible prophecy. Prepare for no buy, no sell. Teach your children about God's creatures. Be safer from calamities and temptations, and enjoy country living. We study Bible prophecy morning and evening. This is the only weak link in the program. We believe in practicality. These girls can sing just like meadowlarks, but they also know how to do things, and so they've been well trained. This is our training center, where we have a chapel in there that seats 100, and that chimney right there is a wood heater that heats the chapel area. That chimney right there is on a wood cook stove in the kitchen, and that chimney there is a wood cook stove in the outdoor kitchen, so that we teach you how to use the wood cook stove if you don't know how. And there are people that don't know how. I'll tell you an experience we had. We had some girls from inner city come and stay with us and visit us. They wanted to learn things. They were very anxious to learn. They were just hungry to learn. And so Linda said, "You girls go ahead and build a fire in the cook stove and I'll be right back down." She went upstairs. She's up there a little while and the smoke just come bellowing up the stairs. And boy, I didn't know they were, maybe they were killing mosquitoes. We didn't know what was happening. We went back down and found out that the girls built the fire in the oven. So after those kinds of experiences, we don't take anything for granted. If the land is cultivated, what will it do with the blessing of God? Supply our necessities. You know, our parents and our grandparents knew all about this, but somehow we've lost the connection that we need. And it's, I'm sure, the devil's plan, because he doesn't want us ready for that time over there when we can't go to Safeway or Kroger's or any place else. And we need to get those skills back, and that's the purpose of our family camp. There are some of the things that we can grow there. That's not everything, but lunch is prepared from the garden. Here's the lunch. By the way, in your garden patch, just expand a little bit, maybe 20 by 20, and plant some grain by hand, just wheat berries, and just scatter around, rake it in and water it, and let it grow. And the same for oats. We can do the same, just two grains in your garden. And notice what we have here. There's oat burgers right there from oats that we grew. Here's sauerkraut, nice Irish word, that we shredded the cabbage and made that, and it has 4 times the vitamin C of oranges. With corn, we grew in the greenhouse, and tomatoes. And we got mashed potatoes and gravy that we made from flour we ground from the wheat we grew. And we have green beans. You can tell we really suffer. Right? Even at 57 degrees north latitude, and you folks here are probably about 35. I don't know exactly what your latitude is here. But is that about right, Mel, 35? We're at 57, and we can still grow a balanced diet with a 90-day growing season. Think what you can do here in West Virginia. You just don't have the fear, if we'll get our hearts right, we can support our families when everything gets cut off. Of course, we have to have wood, we have to have land, we have to have water. We can't compromise on any three. If you got two out of three, consider your property an investment, sell it, and move. Get a property that will accommodate those three things, because you need them. You need the wood. You need that land. Look at the land down here on this place. Did you all look at that? Did that make your mouth water? And the timber up here on this side. And water. This place could be made a self-sufficient training school. Return to simpler methods will be appreciated by children and youth. You know what I didn't like about this reference? It says children and youth. Well, where are the adults? Well, they're complaining and dragging their feet and so forth. And we think the young people, what they need is entertainment, you know. Boom, 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 boogie and some other kinds of things. That's just nonsense. I was been principal of a youth ranch for 10 years, and I'm telling you, we had a waiting list for kids to come up to just be in the wilderness and get their grade 9 to 12. And we could do it again easily. Well, in the kitchen, you won't find in the training center here, there won't be any faucets. You know what you'll find? You'll find a hand pump. And if you want to wash dishes, you got to have hot water. How do you get the hot water? You got to heat it yourself. So forth. So it takes planning, it takes a little more work, but we can be as clean and spiffy on Sabbath as you are right here in all of the conveniences that we have. We'll show you that. That's a hand pump. That's a $25 pump with a side delivery handle. It's in the kitchen there, and the whole 9 days is a training program to use these simpler instruments. By the way, that pump, because it's so cheap, our spring is about, it's an easy 100 yards from the building. But the well is only 12 feet deep. We cribbed in a spring. It has a shaft of water coming out of it. And we cribbed it in with a culvert 12 feet deep, dug it down, put that culvert on, some rocks in the bottom, and it fills up. And we run a line out of the bottom of that culvert all the way to this pump, 300 or more feet horizontal. And it doesn't take much of a pump to move water horizontally, but you got to have a bigger pump if you move it how? Vertically. And you can get those pumps and other things at laymans.com, you know, over here in Ohio. Do you all know about Laymans and so forth? And there are other places too. I personally like the structure of a bison pump because it's got brass innards and it won't rust. What do you think? We got two of them. We got, look at this, fancy shower stalls over a tub and so forth. So we got to fill this thing up with hot water. Uh-oh, stop. Where'd we get the hot water? Well, outside there's a fire pit and the wood. Well, you got to go out and split the wood, bring the wood over, stick it under, start a fire. That may take a while if you haven't started a fire in a little while. It's one of the more amusing events in some cases at family camp. Get a fire going, heat a half barrel of water, so you've got some hot water, and you put it in here and then dilute it with cold to just the right temperature, and you hoist it up with this little double pulley situation here and tie that rope off. Be sure you tie it off well. Why? Okay. I'm just being practical. You know, I'm not taking anything for granted. And you get under there, and this is a metal bucket. You can also, it'll hold hot water. I wouldn't recommend plastic bucket. We made our own gasket here out of an old inner tube, and that flange and that ball valve, and there's a little nipple in there, and a street elbow, and another nipple, and a shower head there. And you get in there, and you open the valve up, and you get wet. And then what? Close it off and soap up. You can wash your hair and wash everything all the way down to your feet. It doesn't take me long to wash my hair. And then you just open that valve and you just let it, you just enjoy the whole 5 gallons. And you can be in clean and spiffy, and it didn't cost you a dime except some energy and a little bit of work. This is some of our greenhouse business. We'll go through this more hastily. This is how we earn our living. In 3 months, we can earn a pretty good middle income salary, and the rest of the year is free for us as the Lord leads. This is some of the flowers we sell in town, the bedding plants and the hanging baskets. I'll just give you an example. We do about 1,000 hanging baskets, and they sell for $20 a piece. And we haven't even sold any trays yet. So you can do the math. There's some patio pots. They're beautiful. My wife just does a wonderful job in arranging these. My job is to tote the bales of peat moss and get them over to the job. You guys know that. There's my son, Jed, and he's loading up the truck for a delivery of plants. There's our second greenhouse that has roll-up sides on it, and we use that for overflow. We sell pansies and perennials out of this greenhouse, sell them out first, and then on the inside, we have grow boxes in there, and we plant our corn and beans and cucumbers and tomatoes, eggplant, all kinds of things that we can grow. You wouldn't have a chance growing outside. And in the back, we planted 6 peach trees. Now talk about an experiment up north, but we got 6 boxes of peaches off of these trees in just convection heat from the greenhouse. There's tomatoes. They ever good. You know, we eat tomatoes that you can't bounce on the floor and catch them. You know what I mean? You go to the store and they're kind of, aren't they kind of green? And but if you grow them yourself, they're vine ripened and they're so much.
The ones from the store taste like wet cardboard.
Wet cardboard. Oops, I went past. Now this is your combine. When you plant your grain and so forth, oats and wheat, you harvest it with this instrument. This is one of the more humorous events at family camp when others are trying to...
What about the cradle?
The cradle would be good. They're hard to find.
I got one.
Do you?
I got one.
Okay, hang on to it. Don't let me over there near it. Then this is some flour that we have taken from the grain that we have ground on this hand grinder. We have 4 or 5 of these hand grinders, and my son has shown them how to set it so that you can grind good fine flour and make whole wheat bread in the wood cook stove. And is that ever good bread? Do you know, you can blindfold me and give me a loaf of whole wheat bread made at home and a loaf of white bread over here, and I'm so good, I can tell the difference. Another thing that we're doing is we have sunflowers. We have sunflowers there, and we take the seeds, and we were able to obtain an oil press from Kenya, Africa. It's the only place they manufacture them. We got one over here from our missionary friend, And we pressed oil from those seeds. And it's a hand lever on a very small cylinder, and boy, it really squeezes them. And the oil comes out of these black, and the, when you first get it, it's black oil, but you filter it, and you get this kind of oil that you can add. And of course, further north you go, you need more calories to. The wood cook stove, I'm going to have to hasten along here because our time is about gone. This is my daughter-in-law, Jed's wife, Amber. She's doing gluten, mashed potatoes, gravy, and green beans, and everything's from the garden on the wood cook stove at family camp. Linda's making sauerkraut here with a hand shredder. My job to demonstrate laundry, I seem the only one to know anything about it, so, and I had to do it when I was a boy. But you can get clothes really clean there. We also demonstrate the hand plunger, and we really went modern. We got a hand wringer. I just have one word of counsel. Don't get your fingers in there. Ask me how I know. This is your clothes dryer. We have a deer fence around our garden plot there, and our campers are very ingenious. You might want to be careful what you want to hang out for everybody to see. And we do the flat irons, and we heat them on the wood cook stove so that we can be spiffy. We teach you how to operate a treadle sewing machine. And all these things are a great blessing. We show you how to make candles if you have a supply of wax. Of course, we can't make it when we go into no buy, no sell, but the oil that we make from sunflower seeds will make a Roman lamp. You put a little rag in the end, and it's just like a candle, and it'll two or three of them will light the room. Charcoal, I'll have to skip over this, but basically you take dry wood and put it in dry into a Dutch oven, cook it for an hour and a half, and when you come out of the Dutch oven, you have the same shape of wood that you put in there, only now it's charcoal, and now you can grind it, and it's very good charcoal for both internal use, as counseled by the Spirit of Prophecy, for diarrhea and other GI tract problems, as well as external use for bug bites, snake bites.
What kind of wood do you
use? Willow. Don't try to use pine or any resinous wood. Use a hardwood. Sassafras, I think it'd be good if you could find dead. But we like to use willow. Do you have willow here? Do you? Yeah, you might want to cook it a little longer if it's oak. This is a root cellar. You can see we have an outdoor entrance and we have an interior entrance. They're 8 feet apart because the ground freezes down 6 feet in our country. And we have, this is basically how you put it together with 6x6 timbers. And we teach you how to fall a tree. One thing you want to remember about falling trees is you don't want to cut it off the stump. You want to leave a hinge of wood in the middle so it maintains its direction. Okay with that, everybody? Okay. And my son and I make the back cut with a cross cut saw. We got timber carriers. You cut the tree down, you haul the timber to the building site, you take a draw knife, you take the bark off because it will slow down the rot process. And a real quick lesson in notching. You take your measuring tape that has a lock on it and measure this distance from here to here and lock it. And when this log is turned over towards you, this distance right here is this distance right here. And so you take that tape and you go up over that log, keeping it straight up and down, and use the inside edge of your measuring tape and follow it right up over the log and make marks. Connect them all. And we'll show you how to do this when you come to family camp. take a chainsaw and make serial cuts right down to your line. It will be a line shaped like this. And Jed here is taking the hatchet, chopping those cuts out. And in the next slide, you just take the tip of your power saw and wave it like this, and it'll smooth right out really nice. And we won't be able to. Yeah, we won't be able to use a power saw, no buy, no sell. And your knot should fit something like that. Some of the best artwork in doing this kind of thing is found right here in West Virginia and Appalachia, where they do dovetail corners. That's really artwork. That's just elegant work. This is log cabin building class, and we'll be working on that. We'll show you how to use a fro and split your own roofing, how to put the shingles on the roof, how to use a crosscut saw. I think this is a little video clip, but we'll see. Notice you never push, you only pull a saw, and you keep the back level, because if you rear down on it, it'll jam. If you try to push it, it'll jam. But you see, that's a nine-inch log, and you can cut a lot of firewood in a day with a crosscut saw, and that's what will substitute for the chainsaw. I'll show you how to use Alaska Mill. I won't take time to describe that process, but my son is demonstrating that. We show people how to split wood. We did have a camper that used that end of the mallet to split wood. We told him to turn it over, it'll be easier. All who are under the training of God need this quiet hour for communion. These are two of our students when we had our, they walked across the river and on Sabbath. During family camp, we build a bonfire down at the river, and we have two or three studies on coming events. And overhead, something special. This is some scenery on our way to church. The Lord, along with another family, we started branch Sabbath schools, and we ended up with a church of 30 members, and the conference helped us organize it. You all know about snow. I thought I'd just throw in a snow picture in case you hadn't seen any lately. One of the big dreams I had, and we'll close with this series, Wayne, we'll close with this series. We went hiking into the wilderness, Jed and I, and our whole country is organized into trap lines. So we contacted the trapper on a lake, a very isolated lake that Jed and I found when we went hiking together. Asked him, can we build a cabin on your property? He said, sure. And I'll use it on season, and you can use it off season. So Jed, being a very good ATV rider, I went to work and I started falling some lodgepole pine. They're about the same diameter, and started putting the cabin together while Jed hauled lumber, and we put the floor in over the stringers and everything, and we started doing notching. We didn't even, because we could only work weekends, we didn't take the bark off because it's way high in the mountains and there's no bugs up there much. It freezes about every month of the year. And so we kept building, and we put this special structure together. We're going to take you here when we go to family camp. And off the front porch, here's what you see. That's my son there in the stern and his friend Ben. This is a loon out here. That's a 10,000-foot mountain here with a timber line. And when you come to family camp, we take you to this spot. And here's one of our first family camps. We took them out to this place. It's an unforgettable experience. This is arm twisting at its height. You saw that picture. We want you to come so we can show it to you. And I see the necessity of what? Making haste to get all things ready for the crisis. In the background is a sunburst indicating the second coming of Christ. Okay, Stan and Piper have a special song for us now entitled, God Will Make a Way. And as you're thinking about this, I hope you'll pick up a copy of our book or some of our CDs and MP3 format back there. And remember, brothers and sisters, that God will help you find a home outside the cities. They're going to sing for us now, "God Will Make a Way," and then I'll have the benediction.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a by a roadway in the wilderness, He'll lead me. And rivers in the desert will I see.
Heaven and earth will fade, but His word I will obey. He will do something new today.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way.
Let us bow our heads. Our Father, which art in heaven, we have committed ourselves last Tuesday to rededicating our lives at the 100% level that we might have that positive influence even unbeknownst to us. We have decided, Lord, that we would give You all of our past life and that You would heal the impossible wounds that we have received and also those that we have given. We have also stood to give You that work to do in our life. And now we have declared that we want to follow You, and in finding Your way and will, in finding a home outside the cities. O Lord, empower us, strengthen our knees, our arms, our resolve. Help us to prepare our hearts to be right with each other and right with God, and help us not to be diverted from our purpose by any outside influence or any mysterious things that happen on either in theology, philosophy, politics, or whatever. You've given us our work, and we want to be free of any distraction that we can carry forward with the work that You've given us to do, and that's to prepare for Your soon return. May it be so in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and through His mediated shed blood, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we all say together, Amen. Amen.